Tune in, Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram at brownzone.com. Talking about the Browns loss to the Steelers. We thought maybe we could try to sweep the Steelers, but now we have to put that out of our mind, losing out 27-14 and officially eliminated. So when you get that E next to your, you know, the, in that schedule there, what happens to the, I don't know, the atmosphere of the team or their mentality? You know, until someone says you can't be in the playoffs, you keep trying. Now they've said, sorry, is there what happens next, I guess, in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, there's four games left. I think they'll continue to play hard. I think they have a lot of quote-unquote character guys on the team. I think there's good leadership, good veteran leadership, guys like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Jameis Winston and down the line. But it is, I think it is interesting because, I mean, they've been bad all season, and the odds of going to playoffs have been slim for a long time. You know, hanging around 1% or less than 1%, depending on, you know, the analytics you're looking at and the playoff probability. But until that Denver game, when they only had 8 losses, I think there's a thought, hey, if they run the table at 9-8, there's a chance they could get in, because teams get into the playoffs at 9-8. And after Denver, I think a lot of the players are like, okay, it's not going to happen, and you started here, and hey, let's play spoiler, that kind of thing. And then yesterday was just the next step that it made it official. And, you know, guys talked about the reality of that and how difficult it is. And, you know, it sucks and it's frustrating. And I got those answers in the locker room. So I don't think it's as jarring because they saw it coming, but it's still difficult. And now it is a test of their effort. It's a test of their character to see how hard they play over the next 4 weeks. But I don't think that's going to be an issue, but it is something to keep an eye on.
That score, 27-14. I mean, that you could have that tattooed. That seems to be sort of like the quintessential score of a Browns game this year.
Yeah, it's weird because I thought they played better than that. I thought they had a chance to win the game. But it's like the rest of the season. There's been too many mistakes, too many major mistakes, and they wound up costing the Browns. And you know, I think you start with – I'd probably start with the Jameis Winston first interception. You know, the second one came when they were down and they're trying to make a rally and, you know, he's trying to push the ball on the field. I think you can almost let that go a little bit. But the first one, they're up 7-3. They got the ball near midfield and he tries to throw a screen to Nick Chubb. And, you know, I've watched it a couple times. I should probably watch it again. But, you know, he thinks that he's got a screen pass to Nick Chubb and then this D-tackle comes jumping out of the pile of bodies and picks it off. And Steelers wind up scoring a touchdown and they have the lead. Instead of the Browns expanding their 7-3 lead, it's 10-7, and the Steelers don't really look back. You know, so he needs to be better than that. And we talked about it after the Broncos game, and you can't turn the ball over. And, you know, sometimes it's just a good play by the defense, and it's not the quarterback's fault. And he was kind of going back and forth when we talked to him about it, whether or not, you know, he felt like it was really a bad play by him or just a good play by the defense. But it's a huge play in the game. And then you look at Dustin Hopkins misses 2 more field goals. He's missed 6 of his last 9 field goals. And when he misses them at the end of the first half and at the start of the second half, if he makes both of those, it's 13-13 in the third quarter. Well, it has a whole different feel, right? The game's just different than the Steelers being up 13-7, and then they get the ball and go down and score a touchdown. It's 20-7. And it's got a whole, you know, they're on their way to the win then. So, you know, those are the big plays in the game. Then they're driving again in the fourth quarter, and they have 3rd and 1, and they get a false start, and then they get a sack, and then they get a unnecessary roughness because left tackle Jermaine Ifedi shoves a guy in the face, and then they have to punt. So it's those kinds of things that we've seen throughout the year, and you know they can't happen, and it's bad football, and bad football doesn't work against good football teams like the Steelers.
Talking to Scott Petrick of the BrownZone.com and also the Chronicle Telegram. Read his reports on and there as well about the Browns losing out to the Steelers 27-14. Let's talk a little bit more about Dustin Hopkins. I mean, this is, I remember last year it was like, can't miss, this guy's great, you know. And I guess, as we all know in the NFL, those kickers, you never know, right? One guy's, they rescue somebody off a heap, and he's great for another team for a while or whatever. He also had some interesting comments, I guess, yesterday. He was trying to choose his words, I guess, is what he even said. That was kind of you don't always get that sort of thing. But I mean, what needs to be done in his regard? Is that one of those mental things, I guess?
Yeah, well, he doesn't think it's a mental thing. He says he's not panicking. He says he just can't find the right swing. And he used a bunch of golf analogies, which I appreciate. You know, I'm a big golfer. And he just said he can't find the right swing, and he can't find the right swing thought. And, you know, for guys who don't play golf or people who don't play golf, you know, it's like one thing you focus on. And it might not even be how it looks, but mechanically you think about one thing, and he can't get the consistent thought that translates to the right kicks. And he said usually you can have a good swing thought and it'll last you for five games before you have to change it. This one, every week I'm trying to find the right swing thought. And that's got to be frustrating for him. You know, like the leg is still strong enough. He's got these pulls, and that's been the biggest issue is he's hitting the ball left. And then he tried to overcompensate on the second one and mishits it and hits it right. So it's that kind of year for him. But you're right about kickers in general. It's a fickle position, and guys can go from really good to bad and back to really good. I think the Browns, when they gave him a three-year, $15.9 million extension in the offseason when he was still under contract, and they need to do that, I think the reason for that is they think he's 30. You know, he's 34 years old, and he's been in this league for 10 years, that maybe you don't have that dip. And he's never had this in his career. I think his previous career worst percentage was – I think 77%, I want to say I wrote it. And every other season is above 81. And this year's at 64. So it's a huge drop-off. But they're going to stick with them, number one. The season's over, right? They're not going to playoffs. So if you're under, if you have this guy under contract, why would you make the move? But, you know, I mean, we asked Kevin Stefanski that just because they're losing games because they're partly because of him. But they're going to stick with them. I understand that. But he's got to figure it out. They're like, we're talking down the road for 2025. He's got to figure it out because you can't have him continue to miss kicks like that. And I just asked him, I said, you know, Kevin Stefanski said he's sticking with you. Is that something you think about? And I don't know what he really wanted to say because he goes, if I'm going to say something and then it was get, you know, you only use half of it and it won't come out sounding right. So I don't know exactly what he wanted to say. But I think his point was, I still feel confident in myself. I like kicking here, but that's something I can't even think about. And, you know, that was the crux of the quote he wound up saying. I don't know if there was something different in his mind. You know, like, it doesn't matter. You know, he's a big Christian guy, so maybe he didn't want to get misinterpreted by saying, hey, it doesn't matter if I get cut because, you know, God has me. Or if he's going to say, hey, if they cut me, somebody else is going to pick me up. I mean, that could have been. You know, that was the other thing that flashed through my mind.
Right, you don't want to have him seem like I'm ready to jump ship or whatever. Anybody want me or I'm fine or whatever, that sort of thing. So what, right. Going forward, now that we're eliminated, any kind of tinkering being done, do you see? Any kind of experiments or whatever in the next rest of the season here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate question. And even at the bye, when they were whatever they were at the bye, 2-8 or whatever it was then, Andrew Berry, the GM, got asked about it, and Kevin Stefanski's been asked about it, and they always have insisted that winning is the number one priority, period. That doesn't mean they won't put some younger guys in if they feel the need to. And the reality is there's been enough injuries, there's been enough cause to see the younger guys. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of younger guys sitting on the bottom of the roster that haven't played yet that they're dying to take a look at. But the one potential exception is quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson. A second-year guy, he started, I want to say, he started a couple games last year. I can't remember if it's two or three. He filled in for Watson when Watson got hurt and tore his Achilles on October 20th against the Bengals. DTR was the first guy in. He got banged up a little bit and left. Didn't play great. And then they made the move to Winston. So I don't know if there's a feeling that, hey, let's take a look at this guy from the organizational standpoint. You know, they don't know what they're going to do quarterback next year. It's a huge question mark. Maybe they can find lightning in a bottle in DTR. I personally think that, you know, he's not cut out to be a starting quarterback in this league. And I think it would be more valuable to see Jameis Winston for another four games. Because I think he does have the potential to be your starter in 2025. And you need to see if he can cut down on the interceptions. You need to see if he can finish strong. This guy hasn't started a lot of games in the last three or four years. So I would stick with Winston, but Stefanski did not commit to that. I think we'll talk about – we'll talk to him later today. I'm sure that will come up. And it'll be interesting because that would be the one, in my opinion, big move they could make.
Kansas City, coming to town.
Yeah, they are.
They find ways to win, I guess is the best way to put it. What can we expect? How are the Browns going to, you know, battle KC?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was listening to that game, the end of that game on the drive home from Pittsburgh last night. And, you know, they win 19-17 over the Chargers. They're 12-1. I think they played 10 one-score games. You know, they won with a kick off the left upright yesterday. It was a short kick, but the guy almost misses it. Two-time defending Super Bowl champions, so obviously they know how to win. It feels like they're vulnerable, but they keep winning. You play all these close games, obviously you are vulnerable. They won on a block kick. You know, they beat the Broncos on a block field goal, and they make this field goal at the end, and they're just winning a bunch of games like in that kind of fashion. They have, I heard, the lowest point differential for any team that had been 11-1 in the history of the league. So, you know, it's interesting, but they got Patrick Mahomes, who in my opinion is still the best quarterback in the league. They have Andy Reid, who might be the best coach in the league. So, you know, I'm sure they're looking at it as a win. They're trying to clinch the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. But if form holds, the Browns will have a chance to win it because everybody who's been playing the Chiefs has a chance to win it. But it's almost like when the Browns have played the Steelers. The Chiefs have shown time and time and time again they know what to do to finish to win, and the Browns way too often have shown that they know how to lose a game at the end.
Right. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. Talk again next week.
Thanks.
Scott Patrick of the Chronicle-Telegram and BrownZone.com, talking Browns football. It's brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson Merrill & Fritz Company, attorneys at law, and Royal Business Equipment. I'm Bruce Van Dyke on WEOL.